John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, returned from his Alpine sojourn to comment on a two-front war. Two fronts. When last we spoke, we had a one-front war, Ukraine, and what is to be done. Much more fascinating to do a two-front war. We begin with six capitals. The first is the new capital in the mix, Jerusalem, its point of view. I mentioned that during these last days, reporting from Jerusalem and about Jerusalem, there is a rage that is recognizable to those of you reading contemporary history, 1941, the rage that America experienced after the attack on Pearl Harbor. The rage continued for years, but it was especially acute that first year, 1942, when the U.S. was not well-armed and the Japanese were perceived as extremely capable, as something that had not been understood by the United States Navy before that point. The Japanese had terrific, excellent carrier pilots, and the Kido Butai seemed to be popping up everywhere. So the response from the U.S. leadership at the time was this is a two-front war. We're going to pour all of our resources into Europe. You will recall that after FDR asked Congress for a declaration of war December 8th, within few days, Adolf Hitler declared war on the United States, meaning we had a two-front war in fact at that moment, a two-front war, and the decision was to go with Europe first. Well, Ernest King, the commander of the Navy, that was the decision-maker on the Pacific, and he did not care for the two-front war with Europe first, so he told his commander in Hawaii, Admiral Nimitz, Chester Nimitz, get out there and hit something. So Nimitz sent the carriers that he had to raid Japanese islands, not significant, not strategic, just hit something. And that kept up through 1942 when we were waiting for our armaments to roll off the shipyards. The carriers that had been ordered several years before were still building in December of 41. Well, they started rolling off in the fall of 42, but you had to get there. And what got there was rage and the accident of history called the Coral Sea, followed by the accident of history called Midway. That is the moment that I have heard cited as a metaphor from Jerusalem this week, Professor, 1942. The Jews of Eastern Europe were being slaughtered routinely, had been slaughtered and covered up, but the Wannsee Conference had decided the final solution, and the Jews were helpless. At that time, the U.S. was in the war, but it was not adequate to tilt the balance. The Germans were driving on Stalingrad across a vast front, and Europe was under the boot of the Hitlerites in Berlin. In other words, all the people who will be seen later as heroes were losing and in despair. Right now, my reading of 1942 metaphor in Jerusalem is get out there and hit something, and that looks to be what's going to happen in Gaza. The order to evacuate to the population to the south of Gaza, which is a practical solution, because the Hamas gangsters, this is not a sovereign state, these are gangsters, have been compared to ISIS. And in Syria and in Iraq during these last years, ISIS was eliminated. It wasn't negotiated with. It wasn't arbitrated with. It didn't have a home such as the PLO found in the 1980s when they evacuated Beirut. ISIS was eliminated, and that's in front of us. Professor, Jerusalem's point of view in rage, what do they hope to accomplish these next days and weeks in what is now the second front? Good evening to you.
Good evening. The challenge, I think you've laid it out rather well. is how to deal with a passion, yet somehow to have that passion drive actions that lead to a desirable goal, ideally one that will eliminate the or will modify the problems that led to whatever it was that caused this explosion of passion. And I think the problem that the decision the Israelis have to make is what is their chief concern? What is their chief goal? Because remember, Israel is very much constrained by her small population. She has basically several million people who can serve in the military, and then the rest are the population. But no matter how good they are, no matter how passionate they are, no matter how canny and well trained, altruistic they are, they can't do magic. So here's the issue. There's tremendous anger, and does it make sense to take as the center of gravity Gaza? Suppose that Gaza disappeared. Would that affect the long-range prospects or even the short middle-range prospects for Israel? What are Israel's goals? What is she seeking to be as a nation? And I think that her goal is to somehow develop a normal relationship, a kind of more of a European-style relationship with all of her neighbors and with the other countries of the world, while at the same time crippling any attempt to undermine the fact of her own existence, which is deeply contested by, for instance, by the Palestinians, many of whose ancestors lived in what is now Israel and who can't go back to where they used to live. So the issue is, does it make sense to expend vast amounts of treasure and probably more blood than anybody understands to subdue Gaza? Or are there other goals that are more important? It's the example you gave of Pearl Harbor. It's amazing that we were hit by the Japanese. And what do? We go over and we start basically helping the British and fighting against Hitler. It's a kind of a quick switch. Now, whether that was a wise decision or not, I won't go into, but it certainly is not a decision that follows from the passions of the moment. People wanted to hit the Japanese, and we did, but we saved our real punch for the Western Front, for the European Front.
Moment, Professor, I want to remind everyone, the Doolittle Raid, it was 24, 25, a few dozen B-24s that took off from carriers with a very daring concept of launching Army bombers. The Air Force was Army Air Force in the Second War, close enough to Tokyo to reach it and bomb it and a couple of other targets if they were deflected from Tokyo, and then land in China. It was a raid, but it was understood by FDR, who green-lighted it, and Ernest King, who said yes, and Chester Nimitz out of Hawaii, to be an answer to the public, to hit them at least a little bit, to show that we can reach Tokyo, because that was outside the range of bombers in the Second War. It wasn't until the B-29 we had there was something strategic about reaching Tokyo. So please continue, Professor.
Well, I was just going to say that the Israelis they can't choose everything on the menu. Some people will want to address issues such as the Iranian nuclear program, or they've already hit Syria, and they'll say, you know, this is the time somehow to solve the whole problem, if that's possible. I think that the error is to think that somehow one can visit tremendous destruction on Gaza and on Hamas, and by doing so, resolve fundamental dilemmas confronted by Israel. I don't think that that's true. So the emotion has somehow to be channeled and distilled and refined into a strategic plan. And I'd point out there is a domestic complication, which is that I've been talking to some Israelis, and the Mr. Netanyahu is, they don't like him at all now. Someone who's known him for 40 years was just saying to me, he's so terrible. And he didn't feel that even a few years ago. But remember that this absolutely extraordinary attack by Hamas was not detected. It was not prepared for. Yet Mr. Netanyahu is, he's Mr. Security for Israel. This is his whole definition. He's the tough guy. He's the one who's the hammer of the anti-Israeli political forces. Yet he's presided over, I mean, the worst catastrophe in really in Israeli history, military history, has happened on his under his watch. Now, the polling suggests in Israel that they want him, they blame him and they blame his government, and they want him personally out as soon as the present crisis passes. Now, if you listen to his speech to the Knesset,
we just have a minute, Professor. We have to.
Okay, he's passionate, but he's not. He's not a good strategist of national interests. He's a politician playing to a domestic audience. And I think we're going to see that as the short-term reactions and the long-term goals turn out not to have the kind of linkage that would be desirable.
Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, commenting on six capitals in a two-front war, something after a year and a half of dealing with Europe, the professor and I had not imagined. And here we have a war in Europe and a war in the Middle East. We're going to turn to Moscow next. We're going to Europe. But the adversary is the Russian Federation and its ally China and its ally Iran and its ally North Korea. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.